Blog Talk Radio.
Shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great high priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin. And if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of His power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in His ability to defend and vindicate His cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3:12-13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry.
Good night, my dear beloved. This is Sister Powell, who will be our host tonight. We just want to offer a word of prayer, asking my dear beloved, let us bow for prayer. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for keeping us through the day, and we are in another new day. We ask you to pour your blessings upon us, Lord. You are so good. You are so great to us. As we fellowship around this table, Lord Jesus, we are asking you, send your spirit, sweet spirit within us, so that our presentation, dear Lord, will please you, and your Holy Spirit will bring back everything to you to let you know, Father, what we are doing. We know, dear God, that you are God, and only you can do it. Hasten the footstep of your children, that they will come to join. Bless us, we pray, but you told us we are two or three gathered together doing the things concerning your will, your enemies. So we just want to thank you for your presence at this time. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved, welcome to Advent El Thursday. And we are welcoming everyone. Welcome those who are on the internet from Netherlands. We also welcome those from Africa, those from Canada, those from Asia, those from Maryland, those from Tennessee, and those from Texas, those from upstate New York, and also those from Louisiana, and people all over the world. We just want to thank you all for fellowship to be here so that we can fellowship with one another. So, dear, our opening scripture. First, I will say our opening scripture, and then we have a song. So after the scripture reading, we will do the song, and then after that, we will do our introduction in our health talk, where we will also share some of the things that we use to boost our immune system and to read some of God's eight health plan that he has given us. And his eight health plan is free. So God's free health plan is that what we need and also need to go and share. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters who would like to read our first scripture passage, and it is taken from Genesis 1:29-30. And also the other scriptures, 3 John 1-4. So I'm asking two people if they would like to read the scripture. All right. So I have two hands up. I'm going to open the first and for Genesis 1:29. And then after I do the second, and everyone, praise God, we have all the hands them open. You know, identify. Thank you all. So,
amen.
Amen. Your line is open.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, amen, amen.
All right, it is great to be here with you all again, beloved. I missed you last week, and it's always a pleasure to be among the saints of God. And so the scripture that we are going to read, taken from the Old Testament, Genesis 1, verse 29, and the last portion of 30, and it reads, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed." Repeat that again. "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." And the last portion of 30 says, "I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." Here ends the reading from the Old Testament, Genesis 1, 29, and the last portion of 30.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for the first reading. We saw what God has done. He has given us every herb, right? And we're going to hear further from the second reading that I 3 John 1-3.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, dear. Amen. Amen. Sure.
Amen. Okay. This is the time, so I'll be reading 3 John 1-4. Amen. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Verse 3, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for reading. So we saw, and a question may ask, are health principles really a part of the true Bible, true religion? We just read it a while ago. God said in 3 John, Sister Tamika just read, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and in all things, not just only prosper, prosper in all things and be in health, just as thy soul prosper." So we saw that it is really God's free health plan that he has given unto us in the 8 laws of health. So the third one now, we will open this line for the third individual, 225-337. Your line is open.
Amen. Amen. It says Revelation 22, verse 1-2. Amen, amen. Good evening, sisters and brothers, Sister Leola, and thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. I'm reading Revelation 22:1-2, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, and for also reading. We will once more experience the tree of life that God have given us to us. That was for our first parents. But one day, soon and very soon, we are going to experience that tree of life that bear 12 manner of fruit, right? He led our fruit every month where we all will enjoy. So, my dear beloved, we saw that the health message that God have given unto us, it's not from us, as what we are saying. God gave it, and this is a health principle to all his people. right? He said, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good, for his good always, that he might preserve us alive. And, you know, God wants us to be healthy so that we will be able to do his will. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water and will take sickness away from the midst of you. And that is Exodus 23:25. So God wants us to be healthy in everything that we do. And we're going to sing this song, and then after we open the line for praise report and our testimony and share some of the things, prior requests, and share some of the things that God have done. And welcome again to Advent Thursday. And I just want to thank God that we have the privilege that we can come together to share. And we are asking the Lord to rescue us in this time. Right, it's an old song. I see if I can remember the tune. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We poor, the erring one, lift up the falling, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them greatly. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demanding, strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Yes, my dear beloved, this answer, we have to rescue the perishing, right? Those are out there. You want us to present this message, wonderful message of truth, to those out there who are dying, and he is waiting, and we're ready for us to go out and do his will. So I just want to thank you all this evening for joining. So now is the time that, you know, you can, we have 8 laws of health: nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, air, rest, and trust in temperance, and rest and trust in God. So our 8 laws of health, we have been practicing them. And as we have been reading, it is a free, right? Those are free gifts that God gave us, health plan that God gave us. So we are so thankful that he always remember his children, and we have to be obedient to accept it. So here now, your line is open for you to share, Maridee, some of the things with your testimony shortly, that we can really go into our studies. And we want to welcome back Sister Stephanie. She will be with us tonight, and that's really a blessing. So I'm going to open the line. You want to share some of the things. I'm going to open this first one. Line 843, your line is open. Can you, you know, share some of the things that God have given you the wisdom to use during these times?
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Powell. Yes, I'm so grateful to share tonight. It's Sister Tynika. And I do have some health health nugget tip about watermelon. Watermelon contains vitamin C, which is for the body, and the body needs help to stay healthy. So this watermelon also has vitamin A and B12 in it and B6. So it is very healthy for us to exercise and continue to drink a lot of water. Also, eating the watermelon helps your body to recover and feel better. So I just wanted to share that. It's also good for anemia, which I didn't know. So I'm learning so much about the watermelon that it really can help your body. And it has antioxidants in it as well and amino acids. So the watermelon is very powerful, and I just wanted to share that. I'm also taking ginger, fresh ginger, garlic, and onions, and fresh lemons and cayenne pepper. And I'm drinking that in the tea with turmeric and some cloves. And it's really helpful for the body. So I just wanted to share that. God bless you all. Thank you. Amen. And amen.
Your prayer request?
Oh, yes. My prayer request is to lift up all my beloved brothers and sisters on this prayer line, the Event Life prayer line, and also I'm asking for prayer for my mom. Asking for prayer for my children and grandchildren. Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my life.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Kamika, for sharing about watermelon and also the wonderful garlic and ginger and turmeric. As a while ago, my brother was telling me about turmeric. Hey, you know about turmeric too? How it is good, how he uses it. So these are some of the wonderful health, you know, free health plan, free health tip that we can without, you know, just natural, and we will find most of these things in our cupboard. So we just want to thank God for that. 225-337, your line is open. This is the time for you to tell your name and to share some of your health tips, you know, things that you use, and also your prayer request.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Sister Leola would like to share red clover. And I'm reading red clover. It says it fights infection, it suppresses appetite, it purifies the blood, and it has an expectant and anti-spasmatic and relaxing effect. It's good for bacteria infection, HIV, AIDS, cough, bronchitis, inflamed lungs, inflammatory bowel disorder, kidney problem, liver disease, skin disorder, and weakened immune system, and that is red clover. It is good for all these things. And you know, red clover has a very pleasant taste and have a taste that people don't normally like. So if you just brew you some red clover and drink some red clover, it has so many benefits to help you, and to especially we always need in the cleansing of the blood. So I just want to thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line and sharing that red clover. And I would like to ask for prayer for I want to ask for prayer for the church all over the world, the Adventist Church, and that God help us to recognize the time we live in. We don't have time to play church, but we got to submit ourselves to God. And then also pray for our children, our young children, and all of them that's getting ready to go back to school. And may God bless them. And give them and let them start the school, and let every child be not be left, no child left out. Let me just say no children left out, but every child go to school and looking good and feeling good about themselves. And I do believe that helped them to be the better person and not be teased in school, because so many children get teased. So let us keep that in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for being my line.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming and really that you think to us, the red clover, it has benefit for a lot of benefits for our health, and also, you know, your prayer for our churches and our children. And if there's no other time, we have to lift up, you know, our family, your churches, our ministers, our garbage men, our nurses, our doctors, our leadership. And that is what the Lord has impressed upon our heart that we should be doing. So we just have to do what the Lord wants us to do. I'm saying to when I do look upon God's word, you know, I just have to give him thanks for everything that he has been saying, because whatsoever he put in the word, we know it's true. So I'm going to open the slide, my truth, 301-868. You would like to share?
Hello?
301-868?
Can you hear me?
Yes, amen.
You can?
Amen, I hear 301-868.
Okay, yes. I just want to bless God, you know, for this opportunity to be here with you. Last week, this time, I was in Orlando at this convention, and for the teachers, thousands and thousands, you know, were there and watched it, and, you know what I mean, were being briefed and prepped on it. And I just want to thank God for his power. And the fact that he says that I'm going to allow you to be in situation where you don't have to worry what to speak, but I will give you what to speak. And that is what happened. And the enemy was busy, angry, all of that good stuff. But I trust that when God is in the mix, all things are well. All things will go great. And so my phone was acting up down there. It was just so much madness. But once again, once we hold on to the hem of the garment, we know that we are in good company and victory is at the end. So I started my program on Monday. I actually have something, a task that I need to finish and submit for today. So I ask you to pray for me with that. I am teaching summer school. I have 7 little beautiful boys and girls. They're just so awesome. They have autism, but they're just such a pleasure. You know, to work with. I normally try to do that in the summer where I work with a particular population that I don't normally work with throughout the school year on a regular basis. With a whole class. So this, all the scholars in there are identified as autistic student. And so, you know, they're just so awesome, just so awesome. I have them kissing their brain. I'm learning from them. They're teaching me. I'm teaching them. Some of them are nonverbal, but I'm telling you, I go in there, I pray every morning. That is the beauty of it. Before they come, I'm playing some songs, and I'm telling you, they are repeating what I say. So I have kids who they tell me, oh, they will throw tables, they will throw chairs, but the Spirit of God is just moving. He said, before we ask, he will answer. So continue to pray for me. I have several interviews. I did one on Monday that, you know, God's will be done, and I will be in the right place to be able to bring and present his message. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you as well. All right? God's blessing, peace, and love to you. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for opening up my line. And this is Stephanie from the Maryland area.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, that you went on your mission. And God have blessed you, and you came back safely and in the classroom with those precious children, despite they are disabled. You know, God is able to do all things. So we just want to thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you that, you know, you are willing to do God's will. Yeah? Yes, my dear beloved. Well, we are going to open this line, 518-650, your line is open.
Good evening, everyone on the line. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Powell. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York.
Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold weakness, to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. O Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, O God. Nothing in our hands we have, but simple to you we come, and worthy and holy and done nothing good. But God, it's just because of your mercy and your grace and your mercy why we are here. Because all we have needed, your hands have provided. You are so faithful to us. Thank you, Lord, for being God, and thank you for being so faithful to us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for shielding us from the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for all you have been doing from we were born until this very moment. Because we are here just because of your grace and your mercy, Lord. Because we are not here by chance. We are not here because of our own self, but we are here because of your grace and your mercy. And you are protecting us. So thank you for everything you have been doing for us. We, along with our families, we thank you for each moment, each second, every day, oh God. So many things are happening. So many people are grieving, oh God. But Lord, it's just because of you. So we just want to give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that is due unto your name. Lord, we have food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We have shelter. We have life. Everything we have, oh God. So Lord, help us to give you thanks for everything you have been doing for us, because there's nothing we can do on our own. Be with our families, oh God. Put them before you. Asking you to build an edge around them and to keep them from the enemy. Because the enemy is like a raving lion seeking to devour who he can. Oh God, be with this prayer line. Be with all of us on this prayer line, along with our family, oh God, as we come Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. We just want to give you thanks for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, what you have been doing for us, oh God. Lord, continue to bless us, continue to guide us, continue to have your way in our life, Continue to let your will be done and help us, Jesus, to forget about this world and to forget about everything that is in the world and to lift our mind heavenward, God, and to concentrate on your goodness and your mercy. Father Jesus, help us to be holy. We want to be like you, Lord. Help us to love each one like how you love us. Because, Jesus, help us to forgive. Help us to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. We are asking you to wash us and to cleanse us and to mold us and to fashion us into your likeness, Lord. Touch our body. Anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. God, if there is anything in us that is unlike you, Lord, please, Jesus, rebuke, move it, and destroy it. And give us a clean hands and a pure heart. Help us to study your word. Live one day at a time, O God. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So that whatever we do, someone may see you through us. Lord, have your way. Let your will be done, Lord. And when things on earth shall be no more, but none of us will be missing. But all of us will hail you as God, because you are God and we are long waited for you. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. Lord, be with the speaker tonight as we break the bread of life, God. Let him not be seen, but let you be seen in everything. Thank you for everything, God. Thank you, because your name is more than words can explain. I give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for singing Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we want to thank you for prayer. Yes, my dear beloved, we're going to open this line now. This person is coming off every minute. Brothers and sisters, we are on the line. We are asking you, you press number one, the coming off every minute. Identify yourself that you know you are not on the line, right? So we just pray that you know you will all. If you're on the line, let us realize that you are here on the line. Okay. 585-7505, your line is open.
Amen, amen. Hello, Sister Powell. Hello, my brothers and sisters on the Advent Life Ministry. Hallelujah, my brothers and sisters. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. My brothers and sisters, I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because God is good. He's a merciful. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Power. And Sister Power, I'm praying today, Sister Power, that you and Sister Miola and Sister Stephanie will make it to Boston. Come preach the word. Come preach the word. How you say that, Sister Power? Come preach the gospel message on the at Bay Cove, because Sister Power Bay Cove need the Lord, Sister Power. Sister Power Bay Cove, they need the Lord, Sister Power. So, Sister Power, I'm asking you, I don't know, can you and Sister Stephanie, Sister Miola, Sister Tamiko, Sister Barnaby, Brother O'Neill, Sister Carla, everyone, I don't know, can you guys come preach the word to Sister Power at Bay Cove, because Bay Cove needs the Lord, Sister Power. I don't know when you guys can come, Sister Power. I'm praying that you guys will come to Bay Cove. Come preach the gospel message on the at Bay Cove Human Services, Sister Power. Sister Power, don't forget to lift up Brother Jari. Brother Jar say that he needs your prayers, Sister Power. So please lift up Brother Jari and lift up Brother Jari in prayer, and lift up the others in prayer. And Amen, Sister Powell. Don't forget to mention that, Sister Powell, to Sister Stephanie on the Advent Light Ministry. Advent Light Ministry needs to come to Boston. Come preach the word. Come preach the word at Bay Cove, because Bay Cove needs the Lord. The client needs the Lord. Amen. And I'm praying for Sister Stephanie, Sister Powell, that she will come preach at Bay Cove. The Lord will give her the Lord will make her speak at Bay Cove. God will make her speak at Bay Cove. God will make her speak at Bay Cove. Come preach the word. Come preach the word with boldness, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. Sister Stephanie, even a shout hallelujah. Amen. Because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for that invitation. Brothers and sisters on Advent Light, we heard the invitation from Brother Eli, asking and praying. So we have to pray for that, right? Yeah, Brother Eli is asking the group, every one of the group, to come to DECO. So we have to get some information and ask us to summon our Lord, each one of us, right? And you know, we have to wait upon the Lord for answers. But Brother Eli's passion, you know, with the message, and you would like us to present the truth to them. 423-635, your line is open. Welcome.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Carla from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for another beautiful day. His many blessings, his love towards us, you know, he saw it fit that we should wake up to give him praise and glory and honor. So I'm just grateful and thankful. I would just like to share today about how sleep change and how much sleep we'll need as they age. It's very important to get our 8 laws of health, especially sleep, nutrition. Godly trust should always, you know, be number one, because without godly trust, none of these things are possible. So says the newborn, to 3 months, at least 16 to 18 hours of sleep. Infant, between 4 and 12 months, at least 12 to 16 hours of sleep. Toddler, that's age 1 to 2, at least 11 to 14 hours of sleep. Preschoolers, that's age 3 to 5, at least 10 to 13 hours of school. School agers, 6 to 12 years old, need at least 9 to 12 hours of school. Teenager, that's 13 to 18, needs at least 8 to 10 hours of sleep. Adults need at least 7 or more hours of sleep. Over time, people develop sleep problem, especially after age 65. People will have sleep problem. But things to take that can help people go to sleep and just relax before they go to sleep is chamomile. We know lavender is really good. Lemongrass is good. Lemon verbena is really good. Also, the leaves of strawberry, those are, you know, will help to get good rest. And especially if you get out in the sunlight, get some fresh air sunlight, do some walking in the sun, that will help your melatonin and also help you to get your rest and needed sleep. But at least by 10 o'clock, you know, be in bed before 10 if possible, but at least between 10 and 3 o'clock, you get the best sleep, and your bodies rejuvenate the cell, making new cells and building and cleaning the body. So that is well needed, so we can not be tired in the morning. We can have energy. We want to have brain fog and tiredness and whatever comes with not getting enough sleep and drinking enough water, because we need that for our body, our cell, and our joints to get enough water. So thank you again, Sister Powell, for opening my line. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised, my brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister. Okay, thank you, Sister Carla, for joining us and to give us that wonderful tip, but especially in our sleep, right? Sleep, we need the sleep from every one of us, from we are the adult to the babe. We also need the sleep, so thank you for those health tips. God is good. God is great, my dear beloved. What more could we ask for? The many blessings that he have given unto us, right? With his God's free health plan, right? It is free of charge, right? Nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, ear rest, and trust in God. And each one of us, and even the remedy, your natural remedy that we have been using, right? Everything formulated out of our 8 health laws that God has given unto us. And it is free of charge. So we have the opportunity to go out to share with others, right? All about the natural thing that God wants us to use. And this natural thing is not only from our mouth talking. We can find the scriptures, right in the Bible that tell us what we should do and what we should not. So my prayer tonight for us to really take these things, right, and not just take it for our own, but also to share it with others so that others can know that there is God, our Savior, our Creator, our great physician, love us so he gave us things that we should use. And we just want to thank Sister Carla for this quote that she has been preparing, providing for us each week. And I will just read it, and then we will go into a prayer. And then the next voice you will hear, my dear beloved, is Sister Stephanie, because we want to be temperate in everything we do, right? And it said, your drowsiness and indulgence destroy godliness and grieve the Spirit of God. A stagnant pool is offensive, but a pure flowing stream spread health and gladness over the land. No man or woman who is converted can be anything but a worker. There certainly is and ever will be employment in heaven. The redeemed will not live in a state of dreamy idleness. Remaineth a rest for the people of God, a rest which they will find in serving him to whom they hold all they have and are. So we know that the Lord doesn't want us to be idle, my dear beloved. He wants us to remain with that rest for his people, and we want to thank him for giving us that blessed Sabbath day of rest that we can go rejuvenate ourselves, we can go out and share the loving truth to others, and also to become more like Jesus in everything we do. So we just want to thank you all. And now we will be asking someone to pray. You know, I like everyone to get the opportunity to pray in prayer. So I'm going to open this line. I don't know if Sister Carlo can pray for us. If she can, 423. Maxing you, please, if you can pray for us, General.
Amen. Amen. Yes, let us pray, brothers.
Amen. Amen.
Kind and loving Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for the provision that you have made for us. Lord, you know everything. You know the beginning and the end, and you just want us to trust in you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind, and lead not unto our own understanding, you tell us, but in all our ways that we will acknowledge you, and that we will turn from our wicked ways to serve you, and that we will give all our energy, all to you. Our body belongs to you by creation and redemption. And it's the right thing for us to do, to take care of this body that you have given us, a special treasure for us to live in, that we're able to have our move and have our being because of your love. I ask that you would touch each and every one of my brothers and sisters. You know each and every one of us. You know a lying down. You know a waking up. You know our thoughts afar off.
And I ask that you would take away the wickedness from our hearts or minds. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Please blot out whatever we have done today, whatever we have said, even this week that was not according to your will. We ask that you will remove it from the book of remembrance, and that you will that we will start a clean slate. Bless each and every brothers and sisters. You know the prayer request. You know the desire of the heart. Please bless it as it is according to your will. May your perfect will be done in us. There's nothing that we can do for ourselves and say that we have done it, but this, because of your love, because of your mercy, because of your long suffering for each and every one of us, we will hope to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Bless the speaker at the hour, Lord. May you cleanse her. May you touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. This is all the unspoken prayer requests, all the desire of your people, which is according to your will, may you answer it accordingly so that we can rightly say, the Lord have done this, and I have no needs of wants or spoil because the Lord has given me the desire of my heart, which is according to his will. Please transform us now as we listen. Help us to be attentive. Help us to be mindful, and help us to all be medical missionary to carry the gospel and also the help message to each and everyone we come in contact with, that we will be disciples going to and for and sharing with the people the good news of your soon coming. Bless us, forgive us, strengthen us, be with the children, be with the youth, the young adults and the adults alike, and even the grandparents and the grannies and everyone. Lord, bless all the families and children, even those that don't like us for whatever reason. Be with them in a special way, Lord, and speak to their hearts so that they can come to know you as their personal Savior and be changed and be renewed in their mind. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla, for praying for each one of us. And I thank my brothers and sisters all for joining us. And now is the time that we can, you know, get our notebook, our pen, or King James Version Bible, and also the Ministry of Healing. And the next voice you will hear is the voice of Sister Stephanie, who will be presenting the message tonight. And thanks again for everyone who joined us, right? So 301-863, your line is open.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for that prayer. Powerful. And I just want to linger just a tad bit longer. Heavenly Father, as we linger just a tad bit longer, we touch and agree with all the prayers that have gone up, Heavenly Father. I pray that you will move mightily on this line. I pray that you will touch my lips with coal so that the message for today is one that will be stirring, is one that will be agitating, but most importantly, is one that will be life-changing, Lord. We want to hear a message from you. We bless your name. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. And I pray that my lips will be touched with coal. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your loving kindness towards us. We thank you, God, that you have not forsaken us. And we thank you, God, that because of you, we're not consumed. We bless your name. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so I am going to be reading from Education and Missionary Training. So I'm going to read a little bit from that. And I'm going to be reading from With Nature and With God, A Season of Rest. With Nature and With God, A Season from Rest. A Season of Rest. I'm going to read a little bit from both of these sections. And if time permits, I will read a little bit of Touch of Faith. Touch of Faith. Amen.
Amen.
So I
Amen.
Am in a education and missionary training
learning by imparting the influence of association, and that is on 4 and 2. Look, it's kind of a bubble up, my dear. I don't know what happened. I'm hearing a lot.
I'm muffled. You can't hear me? You can't hear me?
Yeah. No, not clear.
All right, hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm going to switch phones. Are you able to hear me better now?
Yes, a little better. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Okay, it's testing, testing. All right. So I am reading from Education of Missionary Training. I'm going to read a little bit of learning by imparting influence of others. And then I, if time permits, I'm going to go into with nature and with God, a season of rest, and the touch of faith. So those are the portion that I'm going to be working on today, okay? So it says, learning by imparting, 402. Let the youth advance as fast and as far as they can in the acquisition of knowledge. Let their field of study be as broad as their powers can compass. And as they learn, let them impart their knowledge. It is thus that their minds will acquire discipline and power. I'm going to read it again. Let their field of study be as broad as their powers can compass. And as they learn, let them impart their knowledge. And let them impart their knowledge. It is thus that their minds will acquire discipline and power. It is the use they make of knowledge. It is the use they make of knowledge that determines the value of their education. To spend a long time in study with no effect to impart what is gained often proves a hindrance rather than a help to real development. So, beloved, when you learn something, you should be able to go and impart it to others. You should be able to share it with others. And a scripture that comes to my mind is one that says what? It is better to what? To give than to receive. So when you learn something, right, you are able to cement that knowledge by going and sharing it with others, teaching it with others, spreading it with others, imparting it with others and to others. Amen? To spend a long time in study, I will repeat, with no effect to impart what is gained often proves a hindrance rather than a help to real development. In both the home and the school, it should be the student's effort to learn how to study and how to impart the knowledge gained. Whatever his calling, he is to be both a learner and a teacher as long as life shall last. And hence, we hear many times individuals will come on the line, Sister Carla, you know, and she'll say she's going to this this health retreat so that she's able to learn more, not for her good, but so that she will be equipped to help others in need of medical missionary tactics, in need of healing. Amen? When Sister Paul would come and she gained her, she just turned 81, and God has imparted knowledge to her. She doesn't hide it under the bushel. She takes it to wherever she goes, and she's imparting it. She's passing the knowledge unto others. And that's what God has called us to do, beloved. It says, whatever his calling,
He is to be both a learner and a teacher as long as life shall last. That goes for me too. That goes for everyone that is in the role as an educator. And an educator doesn't have to be a formal educator. When you impart, when you share, when someone comes and tell you, oh, I have a headache, and you can say, well, you know what, you probably are dehydrated, right? I've learned that you need to drink more water, right? When you have inflammation, right, you might be going through pains and stuff, somebody can say, well, wait a minute now, you know, have you had, you know, have you checked your vitamin D lately, right? When someone is saying, okay, I have a daughter who is experiencing these cramps, you can say to them, how about their potassium level? Have you tried having them eating some bananas before, you know, that type of situation? You have learned so much, right? You have learned about lemon. This is Health Thursday, right? We have the eight doctors that makes house calls, right? These are things that you can impart on others. I had a conversation with one of the teachers that I'm working with this summer. We have worked together before, but I haven't seen her for a minute. And she was telling me about, you know, the hot flashes and the menopause, and she's having issues sleeping. And I was able to remember something that I'd read in the encyclopedia, the Back to Eden book, that says that when we consume a lot of sugar, it will impact those hot flashes. So if we reduce the sugar intake, it will reduce it, right? She was having trouble sleeping and all of that stuff. But because of what you all have imparted on me, because of the knowledge that I've gained, I was able to share it with her. Amen? Are you drinking? Try some chamomile tea at night. You know what I mean? Those type of things. When we are given the information, it is for us to impart it on others. The world is hungry. The health message is the right arm of the gospel, and people are receptive to hear that. Amen? So know that when you are equipped with this information, you are to pass it on to others. Amen? All right, I continue. It says, thus he may advance continually, making God his trust, clinging to him who is infinite in wisdom, who can reveal the secrets hidden for ages, who can solve the most difficult problems for minds that believe in him. Thus he may advance continually, making God his trust, clinging to him who is infinite in wisdom. Are we clinging to our Heavenly Father? Are we clinging to Jesus Christ, our Savior? Who can reveal the secrets hidden for ages? Who can solve the most difficult problems for minds that believe in him? I had an interview on Monday, and my understanding interview was for one thing, right? So I kind of knew that information. And then during the interview, the interviewer was going all over, and I'm like, wait a minute. But God has imparted what I've studied, what he has given me, my experience, and I was able to speak, right? Though, and every time I said something, he would change a different position he was asking me. But God had impart, once again, his wisdom, his knowledge. And I trust that God was going to allow me to present his word. Amen? And so I don't know how it's going to go, but I know that God was in that mix. And I know I have the faith, right, whether he doesn't want to hire me or not, but I have the faith that if God wants me there, God is going to allow me to be there. Right? If God wants me to go there and impart my knowledge that he has given me, my wisdom, my experience, so that I can share it with those educators, with those students, with those parents, God is going to allow it. Amen? And so I pray and trust that God's will be done. Amen and amen. So that was learning by imparting. So when we learn, we're to impart. That means we're to give the knowledge that we have gained to someone else. Amen? we're to make sure that they are aware of these eight doctors that makes house call, right? They're aware of ways that they can heal their body. They can resolve their ailments, right, by using some of these natural remedies that you all are so versed on. Amen? And so my next portion is influence of association. Beloved, let me tell you, people are looking at you. I just started my first day on this job with the children. So I went in on June 28th, but the children were not there. And I went to Orlando, flew out the next morning, and I came back and returned to the job on Monday, July 10th. I met some, as I said before, some awesome children. And in the moment where I was at the meeting down in Orlando, influence of association, amen? And so, as I said, God used me. I know it was not in my own strength, but as a vessel, God was able to use me to influence others. And I was intentional, beloved. The Spirit of God told me, don't stay in the same hotel that the others, my delegation, was staying in, because their influence, they normally have something. You all know, I've heard about something called handlers, right? They send the handlers to come and try to contain you or try to tell you what you need to do and what you need to say and how you need to say it. And any time that I have, since 2017, I've been going to these conventions, and for some reason, the Spirit of God would not allow me to stay in the same hotel as my delegation. He always allowed me to find another close by where they are, but not exactly, sometimes 10 minutes away. And God did it this time, and now I can understand, as I'm reading, bless God, Holy Spirit, influence of association, because you have handlers that will come and try to influence you, right? And they are not they're not moving according to thus saith the Lord. And so we have to be careful. I segue now to where I am. I just started. And I have teachers coming up to me, and I'm going to kind of go back and forth. I'm going to go back to Orlando, and then I'm going to come back to the teacher. Let me wrap up in Orlando. I was able to speak, in front of thousands of individuals. It was not my intent, but the Spirit of God led me to. And I wrote everything that the Holy Spirit told me to write, right? And after I was done, individuals came up to me, and they were like, thank you so much for your boldness, for going up and sharing that, because we were thinking about that. But we are so afraid that we don't want to be backlashed. We don't want to be, what my daughter said, cancel, right? We don't want to not look like we're in the in crowd. Amen? And we can't serve God and still want to be in the in crowd, right? If we're serving God, we're not of this world. So the message that we're going to say is going to be different from what the world is going to say and is saying, and it warrants, quote unquote, this woke generation for you to be canceled. But I want you to be reminded that no one can cancel what God has ordained for you to say. No, they can't cancel you. They might, even when they try to kill you, like Cain did Abel. His blood spoke from the ground. Amen? We're still talking about Abel's obedience to God. So they might try to silence you. They might try to do things to you. But we don't have to worry. Let's hold on to God, knowing that he has sent you there for a purpose and a time like this. And he wants you to speak boldly, knowing that he will protect you. He will give you the words and the right words to say. Amen? And so that was what happened. And people were coming up and saying, thank you, black, white, all kind of people, old, young, coming up and saying, thank you. And I pointed them back to my Heavenly Father. Everybody, I was like, bless God. I said, it was God who gave me those words to say. It was not me. It was absolutely not me. So I cannot take any credit. All honor, glory. All honor, glory, and praise goes to God. So we're going to point them back to our Heavenly Father. Amen? And so I'm going to ask you to pray for those seeds that were planted, that they will be germinated. Amen? And so it says, I'm moving now to the influence of association. The influence of association. Amen? And so know that when you associate yourself with others, be careful, right? Make sure that you are the influencer and not the other way around. And so I come now to starting the job on the 10th. So this is this Monday. And today is Thursday. We work 4 days out of the week. So Friday is an off day for us. And they were coming up to me, and, you know, that's what I'm saying. Your influencer, you, every one of you are influencer under God's kingdom in the right way. And so people came up to me, and I noticed, you know, their attire, right? And they were coming up to me, and they're like, oh, my goodness, I love the way how you dress, your skirt, you know what I mean, your dresses, you know what I mean, you're wearing dresses, because I've been wearing dresses now for quite some time now. And so people notice it. They notice that you look different, right? They notice that you're carrying yourself differently. I would go in the morning, and I'm a hugger, you know, and even though I know I have to ask people now with the COVID, I would ask them, you know, would you like a hug? And it was just a different feel. You go in and you bring snacks or you bring different, you know, trinkets or different things. And you want everybody to get to impart in it, just like you want the children. So you bring a different vibe. You bring a heavenly spirit. Amen. And you're speaking to each other and you're planting the spirit of God in that building. Amen. And I'm unapologetic with that. When they ask me, bless God. I thank God for waking me up this morning. I mean, you all are using all of this alphabet stuff, these pronouns. I'm going to use my God. I'm going to speak of my God. I'm going to speak of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I'm going to speak with it boldly. Amen. Know that you are influencer. It says God's word places great stress upon the influence of association, even upon men and women. How much greater is its power on the developing mind and character of children and youth? The company they keep, the principle they adopt, the habits they form will decide the question of their usefulness here and of their future eternal interest. I don't want to be around anyone that cannot help me to grow my faith, cannot help me to become more trusting in God, cannot help me to be kinder, right? Cannot help me to show grace and mercy, cannot help me to not complain, to not murmur, right? It says the company they keep, the principle they adopt, the habits they form will decide the question of their usefulness here and of their future eternal interest. It is a terrible fact and one that should make the hearts of parents tremble that in so many schools and colleges to which the youth are sent for mental culture and discipline, influences prevail which misshape the character, divert the mind from life's true aims, and debase the morals. I'm going to pause right here, and I'm going to interject something. My daughter said to me the other day, Mommy, school is not engaging and fun anymore. School is like a programming. It takes away your creativity. It sets you up to just say, oh, do this, do that. Don't ask any question. Repeat after me. And this is what this is saying right here. How we send the kids to school and the teachers, not their parents, are being forced to tell them, oh, no, you're not. There are more than one gender. If you feel like a girl today, even though you're a boy, you can say it, and I'm going to affirm you. the truth is lies and the lies are truth. But this is what she's saying. It is a terrible fact and one that should make the hearts of parents tremble that in so many schools and colleges to which the youth are sent for mental culture and discipline, influences prevail which misshape the character, divert the mind from life's true aims, and debase the morals. Through contact with the irreligious, the pleasure-loving, and the corrupt, many, many youth lose the simplicity and purity, the faith in God, and the spirit of self-sacrifice that Christian fathers and mothers have cherished and guarded by careful instruction and earnest prayer. Have mercy. I was talking to one of the parents the other day, and she said to me, I got to pray. She said, you know, I only agreed with this particular business item because my daughter just came out the other day and told me she was fluid, she was this, she was that. She said, but I'm praying that God will change it. This is what is happening. I have an interview for the middle school, and I don't want to be in the middle school because they have to deal with, so I know the middle school deal with some stuff, but we're not there fully yet. The middle school. Think about me being in that space where they say, oh, you got to call me John, their name on the roster is Jackie. And don't tell my parents about it. So we have to lie. We have to keep secrets from the parents. So, you know, that's not the space for me. Because I am guided by the commandment that says, those shall not lie. And I have to do what thus saith the Lord asked me to do and instruct me to do. But think about it. I would not want to be a parent, a young parent, or a parent with a young child at this time. Because I would definitely have to homeschool my children. And they're passing laws against parents for homeschooling their children. Many who enter school with the purpose of fitting themselves for some line of unselfish ministry become absorbed in secular study. An ambition is aroused to win distinction in scholarship and to gain position and honor in the world. The purpose for which they entered school is lost sight of, and the life is given up to selfish and worldly pursuits. And often habits are formed and ruin the life both for this world and for the world to come. Are we seeing this in our world, in our own families? As a rule, men and women who have broad ideas, unselfish purposes, noble aspiration, are those in whom these characteristics were developed by their associations in early years. In all his dealing with Israel, God urged upon them the importance of guarding the association of their children. We have a responsibility, beloved, to guard our children, our grandchildren, from evil. It says all the arrangement of civil, religious, and social life were made with a view to preserving the children from harmful companionship and making them from their earliest years familiar with the precepts and principle of the law of God. The object lesson given at the birth of the nation was of a nature deeply to impress all hearts. Before the last terrible judgment came upon the Egyptians in the death of the firstborn, God commanded his people to what? Gather their children into their own homes. The doorpost of every house was marked with blood, and within the protection assured by his token, all were to abide. So today, parents who love and fear God are to keep their children under the bond of the covenant within the protection of those sacred influences made possible through Christ's redeeming blood. And I'm going to read a little bit. These are some scriptures from Be Ye Separate. And I'm going to read that and segue. It says, of his disciples, Christ said, I have given them thy word, and they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17, verse 14. Be not conformed of this world, God bids us, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verse 28. All right, so next week I'm going to pick up here next week. But I'm going to read a little bit, I said, from A Season of Rest. Amen? And so now I am on 53. It says, it was just after the return from their first missionary tour that Jesus bade his disciples come apart and rest a while. The disciples had returned filled with the joy of their success as heralds of the gospel. When the tidings reached them of the death of John the Baptist at the hand of Herod, it was a bitter sorrow and disappointment. And this was the influence, right? Remember, as we were just talking, thank you, Holy Spirit, about influence, association. This was the influence of Herod. Why John's head was given on a plate. He wasn't supposed to be with that woman. Amen? And so we can see how the wrong influence will impact us to do and go against our God. Amen? Or what's the word? Invigor us or coerce us to go against God. It says it was a bitter sorrow and disappointment. Jesus knew that in leaving the Baptist to die in prison, he had severely tested the disciples' faith. With pitying tenderness, he looked upon their sorrowful, tear-stained faces. Tears were in his own eyes, and voice as he said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Mark 6, verse 31. Near Bethsaida, at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee, was a lonely region, beautiful with that fresh green of spring, that offered a welcome retreat to Jesus and his disciples. For his place, they set out, going in their boats across the lake. Here they could rest. And that's the next one of the disciples, the eight disciples and doctors that makes house call, right? Rest apart from the confusion of the multitude. Here the disciples could listen to the words of Christ, undisturbed by the retorts and accusation of the Pharisees. Here they hope to enjoy a short season of fellowship in the society of their Lord. Only a short time did Jesus have alone with his beloved ones. But how precious to them were those few moments. They talked together regarding the work of the gospel and the possibility of making their labor more effective in reaching the people. As Jesus opened to them the treasures of truth, they were vitalized by divine power and inspired with hope and courage. But soon he was again sought for by the multitude. Supposing that he had gone to his usual place of retirement, the people followed him thither. His hope to gain even 1 hour of rest was frustrated, but in the depth of his pure, compassionate heart, the good shepherd of the sheep had only love and pity for these restless, thirsting souls. All day he ministered to their needs, and at evening, what did he do? dismiss them to go to their homes and rest. So that doctor that makes us call that art is very, very important. Amen and amen. And so my last portion that I'm going to read for you all today, I am on It says, faith is the hand that teaches, I'm sorry, faith is the hand that touches infirmity. Are we sick? Well, let me read that again. Faith is the hand that touches infinity. Faith is the hand that touches infinity. So we can't number. We can't count it. Amen? Once we have faith, it is the hand that touches infinity. It says, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Matthew 9, verse 21. I'm reading that again. If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Matthew 9, verse 21. Are you saying that? Is there something that is inflicting your life where you just need to say, if I may just touch the hem of the garment, I will be healed. I will be made whole. I will have peace. I will have comfort. I will get the guidance. I will see what God wants me to see. It was a poor woman who spoke these words, a woman who 12 years, a dozen years, a decade and two, 8 years less a score, a woman who for 12 years had suffered from a disease that made her life a burden. She had spent all her means upon physicians and remedies, only to be pronounced incurable. How many of us have issues that the doctor said is incurable? But, oh, we serve a good healing God. That is the balm in Gilead. That is the healer. He's the ultimate physician, and he has the last word. Amen? She had spent all her means upon physicians and remedies only to be pronounced incurable. But as she heard of the great healer, her hopes revived. She thought, if only I could get near enough to speak to him, I might be healed. Christ was on his way to the home of Jairus, the Jewish rabbi who had entreated him to come and heal his daughter. The heartbroken petition, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. What awesome faith, Mark 5, verse 27. Had touched the tender, sympathetic heart of Christ, and he at once set out with the ruler for his home. I'm going to end here, Sister Powell. No, let me just read this sentence. It says, they advanced but slowly, for the crowd pressed Christ on every side. In making his way through the multitude, the Savior came near to where the afflicted woman was standing. Again and again had she tried in vain to get near him. Now her opportunity had come. She could see no way of speaking to him. She would not speak to hinder his slow advance. But she had heard that healing came from a touch of his garments. And fearful of losing her one chance for relief, she pressed forward saying to herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Christ knew every thought of her mind, and he was making his way to where she stood. He realized her great need, and he was helping her to exercise faith. As he was passing, she reached forward and succeeded in barely touching the border of his garment. Look at the border of your garment. That's a little fine part of the clothing. That moment she knew immediately, I put that word in immediately, but it says, that moment she knew that she was healed. In that one touch was concentrated the fate of her life. And instantly her pain and feebleness disappeared. Instantly she felt the thrill as of an electric current passing through every fiber of her being, there came over her a sensation of perfect health. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 29. The grateful woman desired to express her thanks to the mighty healer who had done more for her in one touch than the physician had done in 12 long years. But she dared not. With a grateful heart, she tried to withdraw from the crowd. Suddenly, Jesus stopped, and looking round, he asked, "Who touched me?" Looking at him in amazement, Peter answered, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and said, thou who touched me," Luke 8:45. Somebody had touched me, Jesus said, "for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me," verse 46. He could distinguish the touch of faith from the casual touch of the careless throng. Someone had touched him with a deep purpose and had received answer. Christ did not ask the question for his own information. He had a lesson for the people, for his disciple, and for the woman. He wished to inspire the afflicted with hope. He wished to show that it was faith which had brought the healing power. The woman's trust must not be passed by without comment. God must be glorified by her grateful confession. Christ desired her to understand that he approved her act of faith. He would not have her remain in ignorance of his knowledge of her suffering, of his compassionate love, and of his approval of her faith in his power to save to the utmost all who come to him. Looking toward the woman, Christ insisted in knowing who had touched him. Finding concealment vain, she came forward trembling and cast herself at his feet. With grateful tears, she told him before all the people why she had touched his garment and how she had been immediately healed. She feared that her act in touching his garment had been one of presumption. But no word of censure came from Christ's lips. He spoke only words of approval. They came from a heart of love, filled with sympathy for human woe. "Daughter," he said gently, "be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Verse 48. How cheering were these words to her. Now no fear that she had given offense embittered her joy. Here ends the reading for today. We will pick up next week. I pray, beloved, that you were blessed. I pray, beloved, that whatever you're going through, you can rest assured that like the woman that has had the issue of blood, your faith can make you whole. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for your word. In due season, we are so thankful, God, that you have given us the opportunity today to learn more about you, to know that we are influenza. We have a lot of influenza being spoken on the social media, on TikTok, but Lord, you have made us the original influenza. You have made us your vessel to go into byways and highways to impart your knowledge, to impart your truth, your gospel, but more importantly, to show your character through us, Heavenly Father. Pray that you will continue to strengthen us. Change our hearts, Heavenly Father. Give us a heart transplant. Remove anything from us that is not in line with you, Lord, but fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can increase our faith in you, knowing that there is no situation that is too difficult for you. There is nothing that you can't do, Heavenly Father. The only thing that you cannot do is fail. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace, for your mercies, and for your loving kindness. touch the hearts of each and every person, Heavenly Father. Let them be here, not here are the words, but doer. Let them leave here, Lord, with a double portion of your Holy Spirit, knowing that you have given them power to speak life into any situation. We bless your name and we give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Sister Powell, this is Sister Leola. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, Sister Powell.
You're here. Me? I don't know what happened.
Yes. Well, it was on mute for a little while. I just wanted to comment on Sister Stephanie's message.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Sister Leola.
Okay, well, I wanted to comment on the message because as she was speaking about God giving us children and we have the responsibility to raise those children because God loaned them to us. That is the child God gave to you. And it's your responsibility to raise that child and to train that child. The Bible speaks of it in the admonition of the Lord. And I heard a message today from this man, and he was talking about how a man was on the street walking naked in front of these children and how these people, what they are doing to the children. And it's speaking about that they want to rule your children, as Sister Stephanie was saying. And the man spoke the words. He said, the children, God give them to you, parents. And they don't belong to Caesar. They don't belong to the pastor. They don't belong to the teacher. They belong to you to raise, and that's what God gave you to do. So as she was speaking, how we got control over our children, and if we allow our children to speak those words, that you come home and tell me that, no, I born a girl, and then she want to say she's a boy. God chastised, you remember, brothers and sisters? God chastised Eli, but not, and Eli, priests, his sons was priests. They were grown men, and God told Eli, you ain't chastise your children. If God chastise him with a grown man, what do you think he going to do for us when we have invaded? If I can't even raise up a baby and tell my 5-year-old, my 10-year-old, my 12, 13-year-old daughter or son what to do, man, I'm telling you, that's we just lost world because it's just that the children, we don't have a generation, and my generation is just doomed. So I'm just thanking God as he is bringing out messages to parents, that it is your responsibility to keep your child in check. So I just want to thank God for that message, and may God continue to bless us on this prayer line as we hear truth in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I will just open Sister Stephanie line, Sister Leola. Right, 301, Sister, do you want to and so comment.
Amen. That's absolutely right, Sister Leola. And the Word of God tells us that we are our first children, teachers. We are our first children's teacher. We are the example that they see, right? And so it is, and it's amazing that you said that because the next portion to that, when they did the parade, they have a song that they chant. And the song is, we are... What they say, we are queer, we are trans, and we're coming for your children. Okay? So that is the agenda. The agenda is to share it with the young children so that as they become older, they're desensitized. Remember, what was the agenda of Lucifer? His agenda was not only to get the one-third angels. His agenda was to get all of the angels to be on his side, to be rebellious and disobedient. Y'all see the connection? Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He wasn't only going after the one-third. He wanted all the angels to rebel against God. Don't you see that that's what's happening down here on earth? They want everybody to go against God. I had a conversation when I was down there with a couple of them behind me, and he was telling me, oh, you know, we told him, we said, you know, it's offensive to us that you all are using the rainbow when we know as Bible-believing individuals that the rainbow was a covenant that God told Noah that he will never destroy the earth for our wickedness again with blood. You know what they said? Oh, no, that's not what it meant. It means that God loves all people. Huh? That's not what the covenant of the rainbow, that is true that God loves all people, but he's not going to let us come to heaven with our sin. He loves us, but he chastised us. He reproved us. And so when I was going, and I'm telling you, I saw the demons down there. We're talking about 10,000, 20,000. It was a lot in there. I literally was getting sick. And I had to put my head down and was just praying. I had to come out and go to the bathroom. I had to pray because I was covering the people that were in front of me. But there was nobody behind me that was covering me. It was just demons. But I know that everyone on this line, you all were praying for me, and I felt it. I felt it, and I had to run. I had to, after I was done, I had to rush away, and there were some people that came to guard me. The Holy Spirit sent people to guard me. And I had to be rushed away to go, and as we talked about, rest. I had to rest because it was very exhausting. And so we have to stand true to what thus saith the Lord. We cannot be fearful because of what others are doing or because of the world, what the world is doing. So let us continue to pray for each other. Let us continue to use our lips to spread the unadulterated truth. And you're absolutely right, Brother, Sister Leola, that it was, they were adults. When God said, you didn't do what you were supposed to do as a parent. So it is fitting for us now. I know I didn't make all the right choices, but it's not too late to say to your children, I was wrong. I should not have done that. Right? I should not have said that. I should not have allowed you to do that. But as I'm growing in Christ, I'm telling you, this is what thus saith the Lord. Amen? So thank you so much,
Amen.
Beloved. I was blessed by this today, and I hope you were blessed too.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Stephanie, and also Sister Leola. Now God has given us the timing. I know if anyone wants to say anything, we're still on the line. Proclaiming to the study this evening and what we have learned and how we are going to ask the Lord to help us that we will follow these principles that God have given unto us so that we can go and share with the world. So I just want to thank everyone tonight. Okay, I saw this letter. I opened the line, you know, briefly 319-895. Your line is open.
Pleasant good night, Sister Bell. Thanks, Sister Stephanie, for that wonderful presentation. It's truly a blessing. And what the world need today is what it needed over 2,000 years ago. Revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what, as a people, God is calling each and every one of us to do. To point people to Christ. Because only Christ's method alone is a method to win people. Christ show people the right way and the wrong way. But he won their confidence first. Then he said, come follow me. It's really fitting to see the time that we are living in. As I was saying to someone, the influence is very wide now. What was once foreign seems regular, and now they want to throw things in your face to say that you need to accept what we believe or else. And as I was, the last comment that Sister Stephanie spoke about, that while they were in New York marching with their pride movement, one of the shocking things that they're saying is that they're coming for your children. And truly they are coming for your children because the schools are accepting this principle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I was passing a school. When I look at the front of the school, they had pride cakes selling and parents was buying pride cakes. They have the flag, they have the cakes, the color of the rainbow. So the mind of people are becoming so conditioned to accept sin. Yeah, the mind of people are becoming so conditioned because the enemy wants it to be so. But as a people, we have to understand that there's supposed to be a line of demarcation. I want to share this quote from the book. Give me 1 second. The Parson Collection. Pause from connection. Collection. Give me 1 second. It says, "Oh, we must be terrible. Oh, we must be terrible in earnest to impress every soul that there is a hell to shun and an heaven to want. Every energy of soul must be aroused to force their passage and seize the kingdom of heaven by force. Satan is active and we must be active. Satan is untiring and persevering and we must be. This is no time now to make excuse and blame others for our backsliding. No time to flatter the soul. If circumstances had only been more favorable, how much easier for us to work the work of God. We must tell even those who profess the truth that they must cease to offend God by sinful excuse. Jesus has provided for every emergency. If they will walk where he leads the way, he will make rough places plain." As Sister Stephanie, had the privilege to speak to so much because God make it possible and people was blessed by what she said. He, with his presence, will create an atmosphere for the soul. He closes the door and brings the souls into seclusion with God. Seclusion with God? That what happened to Moses, right? He was in the wilderness by himself. And then God appeared to him in a burning bush. And he saw the bush burning, and he was curious. And then he heard a voice from the burning bush. "Take off thy shoes, for where thou standest is holy ground." It says here, "And the needy soul is, forget everyone and everything but God." When the soul is in need, it forgets everyone but not God because he wants God. So it's hunger. So that's why the Bible says, "Blessed are those hungers and thirst after righteousness." You're not just thirst, but you're hungered. So that is a two-way. So it says, Satan will walk with him but speak aloud to God and he will drive back the hellish shadow of Satan. You hear that? God will always lift up a standard for the enemy. God will always lift up a standard. We have to understand that.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Is mightier than the enemy. Satan might think that he's in control of this earth, but God allowed the principle that Satan set up to run its course, and it can go no further because God set the standard. You see what happened to Job, right? He said, touch everything, but not his life. Test. And Job said, he will. Though he slay me, yet I trust him. God allowed it. God was the one inflicting Job, but God allowed it to prove that Job would stay faithful. And the time is coming when Seventh-day Adventists will go through this. I just watched a video about Jews in Jerusalem were persecuting Christians. Christians were in a concert, and they came and they were blocking people from entering in Jerusalem, from entering to the concert. And they were physically touching people and pushing them back. So I'm telling you that it's about to happen. Because the Spirit of God, with this movement, this aggressive satanic movement, the pride movement, it is satanic. It's not of God. Satan cannot procreate. Angels cannot. But Satan himself knows that. So that's why he hates anything that goes the natural way. You heard that? He hates everything that goes the natural way. I'm going to finish this quote. It says, with humble, subdued, thankful heart, they will come forth saying, thy gentleness hath made me great. The sincere speaker comes forth from the audience with God, rich in assurance of the love to go forth to distill a heavenly fragrance wherever he goes. Many times we see people do something, Christians, and say he's a Christian, but well, he does that. Look at Peter. What God said to him, what Christ said to him, when thou are converted, feed my lamb. When thou art what? When people are not converted, they will do stuff. So. You understand? Any one of us. You understand? When thou art converted, Peter denied. He said, I would not deny Christ, but he did it. But he did it 3 times as Christ prophesied that he would do. And many times people said, Judas, betray Christ. But I said, myself, I can betray Christ too with my lifestyle. The life that I live and how I function, I can be betraying Christ. I can be denying Christ too. So it says, he walk and talk of the righteousness of Christ. He can talk the love of God with sincerity. He has tested and he knows that the Lord is good. Tested, I know that the Lord is good. This work is to be done in all our churches, not some of our churches. Someone came to me this week and he said, I went to Pennsylvania with them because a young man was supposed to preach in Pennsylvania and I took him there. And he said, that church in Pennsylvania, a lot of people was there. But look at our churches in New York becoming empty. I said, something is lacking because we are doing the same thing over and over again to get the same result. It won't. Many of our churches don't have Bible classes anymore. The help message is put on the back burner while everything else comes front, up front. People are not taught the foundation principle of our church, the doctrines of our church. So people come into the church with jewelry, they're just standing up just to serve God because. So, as I close here with this reading, it says, let us turn our hearts from everything that would dishearten and discourage. Satan will seek to distort everything to our vision and make a mountain of a molehill. Our eyes must be steadily fixed on Jesus. The Lord Jesus is our leader. Who is our leader? Jesus is our leader. We must follow where he leads the way. We are not to commence the plan for the second step. We are not to say, Lord, taking this step, what shall I do? No, we have to consult Christ at every step. For I shall meet with difficulties. But by faith, we must take that one step, come what will, and trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's all God wants mm-hmm. us to do, to trust in him. Trust mm-hmm. in him. Explicitly. Yeah, explicitly. I have, for the past 3 weeks, I've seen the mighty power of God. Three successive weeks. One in Louisiana, one in Bloomington, one in Albany, where I met Sister Barnaby for the first time. I saw her there at the outreach in the park in Albany. We were reasoning with some young men. We had somebody was translating to us, translating for us in Spanish. We were sharing the health message. I was the one that was at the nutrition table. I was sharing him some of the tonics, and they were all impressed by it. And the young men were there, and people were crying out to God. They wanted Jesus. They want to go to a church to worship. Many people. A lady came and testified that she always hearing about the Seventh-day Adventists, and she truly appreciates how we are as a people, our lifestyle, how we eat and all of that. The lady was so impressed. And we were there, right there, and people were saying to us that we should be more in the crowded section at the front. But when you're at the crowded section at the front, there would be a lot of restriction. There are certain things that we couldn't say. We couldn't promote Christ there. Because many of our parks, we cannot do no soliciting, meaning that telling people about Jesus in our park. Where we are, there was no restriction there. We were able to pray with them, encourage them, counsel them, and all. But people need to hear about Jesus. Truly, the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. God wants people. Not just, God didn't call us to be church members. He called us to be disciples. And when we are disciples, we must make other disciples. Many people think that they have to know everything before they can share Jesus. As Sister Stephanie would tell us in our presentation, that we do not have to know everything. Whatever we learn, we can share. Just as simple. It is a blessing. It is a blessing because somebody needs to be known. So, thank you, Sister Stephanie and Sister Paul, for allowing me the time to share. And we have to be mindful, even now, our food. I saw an article this week, just today, our food, and I want to share it before I go. I know I've been here a little long, but I want to share this. This is a very important report I need to share with you guys. It's very important. It says here, pig beans, the latest GMO frankenfood. Pig beans, the latest GMO frankenfood. One second.
I think, Brother O'Neill, maybe you would like to do that presentation for tomorrow?
No, I'm just going to share a little of it. I'm just giving you a little. I'm not going to stay long. It says, pig beans, the latest GMO frankenfood, an expected more, ever wilder, transgenetic food are being produced. Among the latest is piggy sow, a soybean genetically engineered to contain pig protein, according to Mollet, the UK-based company that developed this latest frankenfood. Pig genes were spliced into conventional soy to create a soybean with 26.6 animal protein. It's out there. So I'm just want to let you guys know, just be careful of what you're getting, because there are a lot of genetically modified things going on, because men think they're smart. So careful what we are eating. And many of the packages now, the appeal package now, they stop putting on the appeal on it now. So you have to know the companies, the brands that are a part of appeal, like Nabisco and some of these other brands are a part of appeal. So you have to go Google it for yourself, which company are a part of appeal, because you won't see appeal on the label anymore. They won't put it on it because they know that people are, so they're trying to hide the true nature of what they're doing. So be careful of the things that you, when you're going to the store to buy. ensure that you know whatever you're about to buy. That is what I'm sharing.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you, Brother O'Neill. I just opened for Steph or Sister Stephanie, if you want to have any comment on your communicate that you just saw a while ago. We just want to thank you. And my dear beloved, as the food industry, we have been hearing a lot of things about the food industry. So we just want to thank God for allowing us with these information. And we want it more clear that, you know, each one of us with these items, you know, that we will be able to read it for ourselves and get to understand and, you know, make a change in our life. So I just open this line and then we will close, my dear beloved. And I'm asking you all these information, my dear beloved. We are willing and ready to hear them, but we're just asking our brothers if they can join a little earlier. Sometimes when we can present this information to our brothers and sisters so we will understand and know what we are supposed to be doing, especially with our body and the things that we are putting in. So I just open the line for Sister Tebby, and then we will close. And we just want to thank everyone tonight for joining, and Brother O'Neill came on and gave us those information and the wonderful study. So I just open for Sister Stephanie if she wants to just make the last comment, and then we will be close.
You know, I when I heard what Brother O'Neill was saying, I was like, yep, amen, amen, amen. Because literally, when he's confirmed that that's what they're saying, that they're coming for your children, they're coming for the minds of your children. Because we just read that children who are rightfully trained will be able to do what God has called us to do. So he knows, the enemy knows, that his time is short. So he wants the children to be trained to push his agenda. So thank you so much for pointing that out. Yes, you definitely have to be careful what you're eating. And what I'm going to do, Brother O'Neill, I'm going to extend it so everybody hear it. Next Thursday, tag, you're it. You can certainly come in and you can do the session to be able to present the health message and the reports that you have. You know what I mean? Just such wealth of knowledge needs to be imparted. That's what we just read. Needs to be shared and imparted on others. So next Thursday, you're tagged. You're it, okay?
All right, Brother O'Neill. Yeah. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Brother O'Neill, you're here. Your appointment is for next week, Thursday. Okay, so please come and share time that you can share all this information. And we want to thank God that you was in Albany. I wasn't there. I saw how the weather looked, and, you know, I just said I would not, you know, push it. But I thank God that Sister Barnaby was able to meet you. She told me, you know, that you was there. We pray for you guys, the laymen. We are the
miracle.
Ones who going to finish the work.
It was a miracle, Sister Paul, because while we were there, the rain was supposed to fall 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, the rain was supposed to fall. It was like 60% chance rain. And we left like about 3 o'clock. And after we left, it was one of the biggest showers after we left. So God is really good. He allowed us to do, and it was three consecutive weeks it happened. In Louisiana, remember when we were in Louisiana, as we left, the rain started pour.
Yes.
Same in Bloomington. As we left, the rain started to pour. As we over the event, the rain started to pour when we left. So it's truly, when God wants somebody needs to be blessed, he will work it out.
Yeah. All right. So we just want to thank you. And next week, my dear beloved, thank you all for staying on the line. You know, we got a little more brother. You have said we get another little treat. You know, they gave us a little more time that they did not molest the line. So God is so good. So we just want to thank. And we're just going to close with a prayer, my dear beloved. Father in heaven, we just come to you to give you thanks and praise for us as your children, your sons, your daughters, Lord, who gather here at your welcome table to listen to your word. of encouragement, your word of wisdom, your word of knowledge, your word of warning, your people, that we have a work to perform, both in the community and wherever we go. Heavenly Fathers, you have given us that light with your holy word. Help us, Lord, to have faith and to trust you that each one of us on this line, Lord Jesus, will be able to take time out, be a part of this lovely gospel that you have given unto us, especially, dear Lord, the message that is the right arm to the gospel. We are asking you, Lord Jesus, to help us to blow the trumpet loud and to tell the people about you and what you are doing and what you are expecting your children to do. As most righteous Father, we present our children to you. Those precious jewels are belongs to you. You know everything about them. Even when the disciples were mumbling themselves, when they saw the mothers were taking these children for you to bless, and they were worried, and you said to them, leave them alone. Suffer these little children to come unto you. And the enemy, Satan, is trying to destroy our children. But in the name of Jesus, we come before you boldly to the throne, asking you to help us that we can claim back our children. And we pray for parents, that our parents will train these children to fear you, and not for the children to be doing their own thing and parents doing their own thing. So in the name of Jesus, we claim victory tonight. Bless each home here and each representative from each home, dear Lord. We ask you to shower us under your blood. Thank you to be obedient, and thank you for the faith that you have given unto us. In Jesus' loving name, with thanksgiving, amen. Yes, my dear beloved, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Everyone, have a blessed night, and we will just close. Tomorrow night will be the message of dear Father of the last day event. So we are asking you all to invite a friend. Sister Carla will be the host tomorrow. And my dear beloved, we ask you all to join us at 7 o'clock, right? And you will be able to share and to hear the word. God bless. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.